Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm, scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. For 1700 years on this day, the Church has pondered what Sister Pia Jude says is my O antiphon, O Rex Gentium, O King of the Nations, in terms of the service at the United Nations, which is the fulfillment of what we heard a few days ago when we pondered how Jesus is both Adonai and Dux, Domus Israel, that he is the leader of the house of Israel, but he's also the Lord of all. Today we ponder not just that Jesus is the King of the Jews, the long-awaited one, but the King of all the nations. Goes on, lapis angularis, the cornerstone. Jesus himself will so define himself in the book of Revelation. But also St. Peter says that that is the foundation of the Christian life, that we build ourselves precisely on him, and the Church is built on that rock. And what does he do? Qui facis unum utraque, who makes one out of both. So he unites the Jews and the Gentiles into one family. Then we cry out to him, Veni et salva hominem, quae de limo formasti. Come and save the one you have formed from the clay. That we go back to turning to the Lord as our Creator, remembering that he blew into us the breath of life and that he continues to inspire in us the Holy Spirit. All of that's really beautiful. But the most important part of this O antiphon isn't translated in English. It's O Rex Gentium et desideratus earum, and desired one of all the nations, longed for one of every people and every heart. And I think as we draw closer to Christmas, we need to ponder Jesus as the desideratus. The Church, to help us, gives us women. So a couple days ago, we had the wife of Manoah. We had Saint Elizabeth. Today we have Hannah. All women longing for children, but sterile, barren, incapable of conceiving. And how much they desired a child. The Lord wants our desire for him to be so much greater than that. Today, as you know, we live in a circumstance in which so many couples are incapable of conceiving. So they'll use various means out of that desire. Jesus wants our great desire to be for him and has us turn to Our Lady precisely to stoke that desire. One of my favorite parts of this Advent preface we pray during this second phase of the Advent season is the Virgin Mother longed for him with love beyond all telling. You know, sometimes when a barren woman longs for a child, there can be mixed motives. There can be the motive of, in the biblical cases, having her shame removed before everybody else. There can be a longing for the exercise of spiritual maternity, for the fulfillment of her feminine existence. There can be sometimes even a sense of possessiveness to have a child. But in Mary, there was no mixed motive. She longed with love beyond all telling, simply for God, to be able to know him, to be able to love him. And that desire was so much surpassed. She was longing for God. God was similarly longing for her and came to dwell with her in a way that no Jewish girl praying would have ever dreamed of conceiving. We see her desire on display in today's Magnificat. The Magnificat interweaves so many of the prayers of the heroines of the Old Testament, of the holy women. In the place of the psalm today, we had Hannah's song. So many of the elements reappear in the Magnificat. But we also see the other women. Mary was identifying with all of their holy longings. And in her contemplative heart, which according to the Greek, takes all these things as mosaic pieces and places them to a whole and treasures them, she takes all of these tesserae of these Old Testament women and makes a masterpiece within her heart, a masterpiece of holy longing for the Lord first, but then holy joy that the Lord meets that longing and raises it infinitely. So that's what we see. She begins exploding. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So the greatness of the Lord and the salvation that comes from him is before her. It surpasses what she was anticipating, that greatness and that salvation was being carried with her as she entered Ein Kerem. He goes on, why, even though she was lowly, he has exalted her, and every generation will call her an unknown young girl from an out-of-the-way place from which soon someone would curtly state nothing good could come, that she would be blessed by every generation, because despite her lowliness, the Almighty has done extraordinary things for her. Holy is his name, and he was going to make her name blessed. What are the longings that we experience in Mary's love beyond all telling? It's first mercy. And she says, he has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. It's for justice. And we see that the Lord has shown the strength of his arm in precisely these ways, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, coming to the help of his servant, Israel, remembering his promise of mercy through every generation. Those holy desires are not only met, but God goes so far beyond them. This is the love beyond all telling that filled her heart. And as we speed to Christmas, We can turn to her and ask her to pray for us, that our desire might similarly grow, and that our joy likewise might grow all the more as we ponder precisely how God has met our deepest desires and consistently surpasses them. But let's get as deep as we can, because our desires are not just for little things. Our desires have got to be for the greatest stuff of all. On Christmas morning, we will have a prayer that the priest says every day when he's preparing the chalice. It's the prayer of Christmas morning, the real exclamation point of the church's praise to the Lord. In the old rite, the priest prays the entire prayer. In the new rite, it's curtailed. Deus qui humani substantiae mirabile condidisti et mirabiliter reformasti. O God, who miraculously, wondrously formed the human person at the beginning, and even more wondrously redeemed him. That at the beginning God breathed into us the breath of life, now he breathes himself into us. That the redemption is just so much greater, that a desire for salvation has been greatly surpassed, because our salvation was not just a liberation by some hero who would then go to the grave and disintegrate, but our salvation would come from God himself taking on our nature, and that leads to the second part of the prayer, that we may become partakers of the divinity of him who humbled himself to share in our humanity, that a desire never to be alone, our desire for God to be with us, is not fulfilled merely through symbols and signs, but in person. That is the great longing Mary wants to stoke, and that's the one she wants us to take true joy in. And that prayer of Christmas is made for a reason at every Mass, as we long for the one who comes not just to teach us, but to nourish us. St. John Vianney said, if we had been given what Solomon was, to be able to ask for anything as high as the heavens or as deep as the netherworld, we would have never dreamed about the incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. But even beyond that, we would have never fathomed that God would love us so much that he would hide himself under simple human nourishment so that we would be able to be reformed even more wondrously than we were created. But what we would have never, ever, in our wildest imaginations sought, God has in fact done. So we turn to him who is the King of the nations and their greatest desire, and ask him for the grace to build our life on him as our cornerstone, as he sends the Holy Spirit to make us holy.